If tomorrow all the things were gone, I'd work for all my life, and I had to start again with just my children and my wife. I thank my lucky stars to be living here today, 'cause the flag still stands for freedom, and they can't take that away. And I'm proud to be an American, where at least I know I'm free. And I won't forget the men who died, who gave that right to me. And I gladly stand up next to you and defend her still today, 'cause there ain't no doubt I love this land. God bless the USA. From the lakes of Minnesota to the hills of Tennessee, across the plains of Texas, from sea to shining sea, from Detroit down to Houston and New York to LA, well, there's pride in every American heart, and it's time we stand and say that I'm proud to be an American, where at least I know I'm free. And I won't forget the men who died, who gave that right to me. And I gladly stand up next to you and defend her till today, 'cause there ain't no doubt I love this land. God bless the USA. Proud to be an American, where at least I know I'm free. And I won't forget the men who died, who gave that right to me. And I gladly stand up next to you and defend her still today, 'cause there ain't no doubt I love this land. God bless the
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
With liberty and justice for all. Good evening, Global Patriots. You're listening to the Global Patriot Radio, the Vito Esposito Show. I'm Vito. Our call-in number tonight and every Global Patriot Radio night is area code 319-527-6706. That's area code 319-527-6706. It's Monday, Memorial Day, the last Monday of May, and we're joined by that great American, Big Al. Good evening, Al. How you doing?
Doing great, Vito. Great to be here, as always, and I am right where I'm supposed to be.
Right where you're supposed to be, 6 p.m. Eastern time right here on Blog Talk Radio. And, of course, you got Ducky. You got some Mama Mia No Sharia in the house, and hello, Sue. From New Mexico, nice to see you, and I hope you all are having a good Memorial Day weekend. It's the holiday, actually the unofficial kickoff to summer, as well as we remember those who gave the ultimate price, paid the ultimate price, and it seems today we look at Memorial Day as more of a three-day holiday to barbecue and drink adult beverages or take that boat out in the open waters. And we got to remember that sense of patriotism, and we should remember the defenders of our freedom who did not come home, who gave their lives at home defending this great nation and abroad as well. So now more than ever in our brief history of these great United States, let's remember those patriots from the 13 original colonies who fought for the liberties and freedoms we enjoy today. And let's remember why they fought and gave their lives: freedom from tyranny, freedom from monarchical rule. Those same freedom and liberties our revolutionary patriots fought and died for are taken granted today. In 1776, American colony patriots fought against tyranny and totalitarianism of a monarchy from across the pond. And in 1776, men left their families and farms to defend their homeland, and many of those patriots did not return to their homes, to their families. But they gave the ultimate for the freedoms and liberties that we enjoy today. So remember our fallen heroes today and every day. And to any and all who have answered the call to defend this nation, including my great father, my uncles and cousins, a friend sent this Memorial Day prayer. They served and fought and died so that we might be free and safe. Grant them, O Lord, eternal peace, and give them the victory. And in these days of unrest filled with grave uncertainty, let's not forget the price they paid to keep our country free. And that was Helen Steiner Rice. And today in America, we honor those who have given the greatest sacrifice for our freedom. And we thank you. And we thank you from Global Patriot Radio. Al, I know it's a long weekend, and we need to be grateful for the sacrifice, the ultimate sacrifices that many men and women gave in our 246 years of this great nation.
Well, yep, and hats off to our military men and women, because there have always been threats to our republic from without, and most importantly from within, and we need our military and we need our politicians to support our republic. Unfortunately, with our politicians, they seem to be taking a shift towards Marxism, which is exceedingly dangerous and bad for our culture. And we're going to go into that with some stories later on.
Yeah, and the first one we'd like to talk about is, of course, this is the PGA news. And this past weekend, the PGA was at the famed Colonial in Texas, the Charles Schwab Challenge. It has a history with the PGA and honors Ben Hogan, the one of the great golfers in the 50s, 40s, 50s, and 60s. And at the end of regulation play yesterday, two golfers were tied at 8 under par, Argentine's Emiliano Grillo and America's Adam Shank. Shank, who was looking for his first PGA Tour win, and Grillo looking for his second victory after his first one was in 2015. On the second playoff hole, Grillo stepped up. It was a par three. He hit a great shot, just clearing a bunker, and that thing took a left turn and rolled to about 6 feet to the pin. It was an absolute great shot, because if he was a foot short, it would have probably either buried in the bunker or just stayed in the bunker, and he would have probably about a 40 or 45-foot bunker shot just to save par. So Shank was a little pumped up. He hit his tee shot, because it was a par three, over the green. It hit in the middle of the green, and it just bounded and rolled. And he had a chip up, and he tell you what, he made a great shot under pressure for a man who has never won a PGA Tour event. He chipped it to within 2 feet of the pin. He marked his ball. Grillo stepped in, and he steadily drained his birdie putt to win his second PGA Tour victory. So congratulations to Grillo. Also congratulations to Adam Shank. This is one of his highest finishes, and he had a new caddy on the bag. That also helped contribute to, I think, his success that he had over the weekend. And it's a friend of Holger's, by the way, who the caddy was. And the caddy was with Max McGreevy, and they parted ways last week. And Adam Shank picked him up for this tournament, and it proved to be the right decision. He almost got that win, so it was kind of cool, wasn't it? I know, Al, you and I were were texting afterwards, too. Did you see that?
Oh, it was very exciting. I mean, even Griot hitting that shot coming in where he made double bogey off the cart path was unbelievable. That's something you don't see every day. But it was a great match, like you said, that left turn in the end. Spectacularly exciting and great sport.
Yeah. Yeah, it really was. And of course, the Colonial didn't let anybody down. Once again, that place is, I love that place. It's in Texas, and it's the home of Ben Hogan as well. So he got his first victory there back like in 1944 or 46 or someplace like that. So sometime like that. And then the LPGA was in Las Vegas, and they were with the Bank of Hope LPGA Match Play presented by MGM Rewards. And it's a match play event, a true match play event. And in the end, in the final match, Pajari Ananarukaran of Thailand, she was 6-1, and she defeated Japan's Ayaka Furu, sorry, in the final match. And Furu also went 6-1. Ananarukaran won the final match 3-1, which, you know, you win 3-1. That's a pretty sound defeat. She took it to the 17th hole and she closed out Furu from Japan. And I think this is the first LPGA win for the Thai player, Pajari Ananarukaran. So congratulations to her. It was also a sports
say week. Those names three but, times real fast.
Yeah, right. So it wasn't Sally Jones, you know, defeating Emma Smith, you know, unfortunately. But, you know, the international women's players are really good. They're the real deal. And they come ready to play just like, you know, actually in our day, you know, we'd have to go through the qualifying and college and all that. And today it just seems like the younger individuals are more prepared with all of the with all the tournament play that they play in college or actually in their youth, in high school and in college. And it makes them so prepared to play at the professional level. So this lady's traveled from all around the world. So congratulations to her. I believe she's in her rookie year, so it's a great victory, and she'll get an exemption on the LPGA Tour.
Yeah, like I was watching some of the college girls play, and they were phenomenal. Zhang, I don't know if you watched any of it, but she's very poised. She's going to be on the Pro Tour. Very exciting.
Oh, Rose Zhang is, like, she's the best female player. I think she's out of UCLA, if I'm not mistaken, or USC. She is definitely one of the best female player out of college. So she will definitely be interesting to watch. She's got some experience too on the LPGA Tour. She's played as an amateur, so she'll get her pro status. I think she's already received a couple of exemptions. So it'll be interesting to watch her mature as we watch Lydia Ko mature and several others. So on Sundays, on Memorial Day weekend, it is traditional that Memorial Day you have the running of the Indianapolis 500 at Indianapolis Speedway in Indianapolis, Indiana. And boy, what a race. Al and I were talking about that before. Rose Zhang is Stanford, thank you. It was one heck of a race. If you like open-wheeled racing, the Indianapolis 500 is great. It's always great to watch it. It's like a tradition because it's been going on for so many years. And in the end, they couldn't finish. It seemed like it. There were three red flags due to accidents within the last 14 laps of the race. And the first one came with about 15 to go. And the Indianapolis The 500 red flagged it. They've red flagged the race. Then they restarted, and an accident immediately happened with like five laps to go. And then they restarted once again, and on the opening lap there was a crash, which left them with two laps to go, and they red flagged it. So they ran the race with two laps to go. Marcus Ericsson running for the Honda team, and I believe A.J. Foyt's team was in first place at that time. Joseph Newgarden was in second place, and Santino Ferrucci and Alex Palou were at Alexander Rossi were third, fourth, and fifth. When they came out of the red flag and they had the white checkered finish on the last lap, Marcus Ericsson gets a great jump on everybody. On the last lap, Joseph Newgarden makes a slingshot move, and he slingshots past Marcus Ericsson to take the lead on the final lap. And he held on, and he beats Marcus Ericsson, who was not very pleased with the Indianapolis 500 officials for red flagging the race with three laps to go. He thought it wasn't fair. He was going for back-to-back wins, as a matter of fact. But Joseph Newgarden certainly was pumped up after that win, and he pulls up to the finish line, gets out of his car, jumps under the fence, and jumps in and runs into the stands, and he's celebrating his victory with the fans. And it was truly an impulsive moment. This guy was pumped up, and I'll tell you, when you have 500 laps and what, a three-hour race, and you're in a car for 3 hours in heat, and you park, and this guy had so much energy. He was so pumped in winning the Indianapolis 500. It was a dream come true for him. So Joseph Newgarden finished first, Marcus Ericsson second, Santino Ferrucci finished third. Al?
Yeah, you that was exciting. It. I've never seen a driver go into the stand like that. That was phenomenal. But then at that last wreck that you were talking about, Kyle Kirkwood, when he flipped his car in that crash involving Felix Rosenqvist, I'm mispronouncing his name, but a tire went flying over the catch fence after the collision. And it hit it just right because these tires normally have a strap to keep the tires from flying. But this thing missed fans in the stands by feet. And then could have killed some people for sure. Well, the tire went off into the parking lot and damaged some car. But that was a scary collision. Amazing, because this open-wheel racing is a lot different than NASCAR because there are no restrictor plates, and everybody's going full out, and these cars are fast, and it is – I find it much more exciting than NASCAR, quite frankly.
Well, you know, it was really weird because when the accident occurred in front, the other car came along the side and just absolutely severed the back tire and severed that the catch string that keeps the tires, you know, attached to the vehicle. And my goodness, that tire flew, and it looked like if it would have hit into the stands, people would have been injured. There's no doubt about it, because that thing had to be going 100 miles an hour over the fence. Holy crap. That thing was
easy.
Oh.
Yeah, and he just got boxed in. He could have gotten out of the way, but there's a driver in front of him applying his brake. He had nowhere to go. So
nowhere.
It was unfortunate, and luckily nobody got hurt, but damn if that wasn't exciting.
It really was.
People who watch racing. All right, people who watch racing to see the wrecks, well, you're not abnormal. It's human nature. And I tell you, this Indy 500 race left every fan thrilled and excited. It was something.
Not many of the 300,000 people left after the first red flag, not to mention two more after that. It was really cool. And then the last part of Memorial Day weekend, you have the French Open tennis. I got underway at the famed Roland Garros. It's the clay court Grand Slam major. It's the second of the year for tennis fans, and back in January was the Australian Open. So Roland Garros' greatest champion, Rafael Nadal, is sidelined with a hip injury, so he's not competing, which catapulted or vaulted Carlos Alcaraz to number one, and Novak Djokovic is world number three now, or seeded number three, excuse me, in the French Open. Could bode well for Djokovic because Djokovic has lost probably, five times to Rafael Nadal. Seems like Nadal has his number. Not that Djokovic is a slouch, but certainly Rafael Nadal is a master on clay. So we'll have to watch that. I believe it's a two-week event, and we'll see who emerges. And the only thing about it is that Novak Djokovic and Carlos Alcaraz are in the same brackets. So they could meet in the semifinals, which would make the semifinals probably better than the finals. So we'll have to watch and see what materializes there.
Djokovic, for people who may not remember, Djokovic wanted, he missed tournaments here in the United States because he was not allowed into the country because he refused to get a vaccine, one of the COVID vaccines that everybody was pushing, chose not to take it, and they would not allow him into the country to compete. And meanwhile, we've got all these illegal aliens storming the border. It's the heights of hypocrisy. And that's who I'm rooting for to win this thing. I want Djokovic to take it all.
I do, too. You know, and it's going to be interesting because it's the same radical extremists in Washington, D.C. who are going to keep Djokovic out of the U.S. Open or could keep him out of the U.S. Open. They've already done the same to a Swedish golfer, LPGA golfer. She's a superstar for Sweden. She was unable to compete in the Chevron Championship for the LPGA, but apparently she will be allowed to access into the country. So it's really interesting to see the radicalism of the Biden-Harris regime with their globalist agenda and their keeping athletes from competing. And it's pretty sick, actually, when you think about it, because they know what the science is. And they know that they're screwing with science and they're actually screwing with people's livelihoods. So, yeah, I agree with you. I hope Djokovic goes all the way and sends a message. But you know what? Sadly, Biden and his radical extremist regime, they don't care. And that's the sad part of it. They don't care.
That's true. You summed it up in two words. They don't care.
In two words. So I've got one word for you. A-OK.
That was a takeoff on a Biden spoof where he said something. I only have two words to say about this, and it was three words, and he looked like a moron. So I was looking like a moron. I was looking like a moron on purpose in the cause of humor, and I think that that's a noble endeavor.
Well, I don't think you're a moron because you actually speak in complete sentences, and it's something that Joe Biden can't do, even after reading a teleprompter. He doesn't have the capabilities or the mental acuity to do that. So you do have one up on him. So,
well, thank you. I think.
Well, Al, here we are. It's Memorial Day, and we're remembering the brave men and women who paid that ultimate price for their country. We would have believed in America. We are now battling an anti-American movement, similar in totalitarian nature to the original American patriots, the Minutemen, who fought 246 years ago in 1776. When I was thinking about this the other day, I was wondering if that would be kind of considered to be out there. And then today I'm reading bigfootsplace.blogspot.com. And in the second article in bigfootsplace.blogspot.com for Memorial Day is an article from Front Page Mag. And are we close to losing the freedom that so many died to defend? And it's written by Mr. Robert Spencer. And I have to say that I'm happy that the thought process I have is in the mainstream, because I consider Mr. Robert Spencer to be mainstream. And Mr. Spencer starts out his article as, this is an unusual Memorial Day. Today, we remember with a debt of gratitude we can never repay those who have made the ultimate sacrifice to keep us free from external enemies. As we do so, internal enemies are working steadily to erode and ultimately destroy the very freedoms for which so many gave their lives and to render their sacrifices meaningless. He goes on to write in the article, and it's a little bit of a history lesson. Roman politicians likewise thought that the empire could never be defeated and behaved accordingly, unhesitatingly engaged in savage infighting without regard for how this fight would weaken the empire before its external enemies. The empire was forever. It would never end, so they could take the endless risks. One of the most notable of those regarded mass migration. The Western Empire was centered on Rome itself fell in 476 after a mass migration that many Romans encouraged, as the migrants were willing to serve in the military when their own countrymen often were not. Those migrants, however, often did not share the values of the Romans, and as they grew in number, became increasingly assertive and demanding. Ultimately, they gained complete control. And this is where Robert Spencer nails it. The migrants were willing to serve in the military when their own countrymen often were not. Those migrants, however, often did not share the values of the Romans. And this is why we in America believe in legal migration. Because the legal migrants, the 1 million a year who take that oath to protect and defend the United States of America, their new country, have become citizens with allegiance. But there is no allegiance when you have this mass migration with unvetted, unvaccinated, unverified illegal aliens pouring through your border. That extremism is not just limited to migration, which we know is intentional by the left wing under the Democrat Party umbrella. The destructive Democrat Party destroying America from within with their extremism and anti-American movement. We know the damage the destructive Democrats have done, creating a crisis at the border and allowing for America to be invaded. Over 7 million unvetted, unverified, unvaccinated illegal aliens invading the United States of America. And the President of the United States is in breach of Article 4, Section 4 of the United States Constitution. It's not just the Biden-Harris creating a border crisis. They are now creating yet another man-made crisis of fear with this climate change hoax. Now think about this extremism and radicalism being shoved down Americans' throats by the anti-American globalist Biden-Harris regime. This climate scam hoax, the latest climate hoax, is being pushed by a multi-billionaire globalist, John Kerry, who married into wealth, Teresa Hines Kerry. Doing it on behalf of the World Economic Forum, you know, that New World Order organization that is promoting the Great Reset, Klaus von Schwab. John Kerry's latest assertion should give each and every American pause how radical the Biden-Harris regime truly are. Now, here's a clip from John Kerry, of John Kerry, and it's well-done discussion by Stuart Varney of Varney & Company. Stuart Varney has a business show on Fox Business. You know, that evil Fox Business, except Stuart Varney has an appreciation for the United States of America and believes in the United States Constitution. You know, and then we'll discuss this article from the United West concerning the climate hoax being unilaterally imposed by the new dictatorship in Washington, D.C. So here is Stuart Varney speaking with his guest, and they're talking about John Kerry's radical anti-American movement that Americans need to wake up, because now the Biden-Harris regime are taking this radicalism, this extremism, to a new level.
John Kerry has a new climate target, farmers. Ashley, I know all about this story, but why don't you explain it to our viewers?
I'll try. Our fearless climate czar, who jets around the world, by the way, in his private aircraft, taking aim now at farmers because they're polluting the environment, he says. Mr. Kerry claims agriculture production creates 33% of the world's total greenhouse gas emissions, and the fight against climate change cannot be tackled without addressing what the farmers are doing. In fact, Kerry is refusing to call it climate change anymore. He says it's climate crisis. And Kerry says emissions from the food system alone are projected to cause another half a degree of warming by the year 2050. The former Secretary of State says lives depend on world leaders and scientists developing the tools necessary to lower agriculture emissions. It's all about the cows.
Yeah, it's all about the cows. And did you hear, the latest target by the extreme and radical Biden-Harris regime is to go after the American farmer. Come up with some bogus number. The average agriculture production contributes 33% to the climate. And by 2050, we're going to go up by another degree. You know, let's just pick a number. It's always a round number. Oh, by 2030, this needs to be implemented, zero net, net zero emissions. By 2050, you know, the temperature is going to rise another 1 degree. I'm sorry, but it's not going to happen. Mother Earth will dictate how the Earth will warm or cool. And this is just another movement by the radical anti-American globalists in population reduction. Go after the American farmer, not these big farms. See, the radicalism being preached by the anti-American Biden-Harris regime is to attack the small farmers in America. They are literally talking about curtailing America's food supply by blaming farmers and small farmers at that for causing what these extremists now call a climate crisis. Yeah, they're dropping the climate change hoax narrative, and they're going to change the hoax to climate crisis. Now, what really should anger you and should anger each and every American, and by the way, even you all, you global patriots globally, you should be angered as well, because it's not going to stop in the United States of America. It's already hitting the African Union. And you should really anger Americans at the multi-billionaire elitist, John Kerry, when he made those statements, was sitting next to billionaire globalist Bill Gates, you know, from Epstein Island, the Microsoft guru, who's a proponent of limiting the world population, who has profited handsomely to the Wuhan virus vaccine. And along with John Kerry, the multi-billionaire globalist Bill Gates is part of the World Economic Forum. And the World Economic Forum has truly become a new world order, including the globalist anti-American Klaus Schwab. And they have amassed a team of elitist billionaires to force their radical ideology on America. This is extreme to threaten the American farmer, to threaten the American food supply, to threaten the world food supply. And you wonder why a perfect chimpanzee was placed in the White House on January 20, 2021? Yeah, I'm talking about Joe Biden. He was put in to aid and abet implementing a radical and extreme globalist agenda, including climate change hoax, which is now to blame the farmers for this fictitious climate crisis. They're blaming farmers for, they produce 33% of the emissions And they're talking about nitrogen, and they're talking about methane. So somehow they've come up with this 33%. You're a corn farmer in Iowa. You contribute 33% of the to the climate crisis. Really? Okay. So how do we make ethanol gas? How do we make the food for the animals to eat and process, like chickens and all? Oh, well, now you can't do that, because if you're growing tomatoes to send to market, you're contributing to 33% of the emissions that are bad for the United States, are bad for the environment. It's a climate change hoax. Bigfoot says the crusade against nitrogen pollution really bleeped off the farmers in the Netherlands, and it sure did. And it sure did. And I forgot. Thank you, because that's the third place where where the globalists attempted at first stake to limit the farmers and take away the farms in the Netherlands. And then back in December of 2022, Joe Biden and the New World Order stepped up, and they try to limit what African farmers could manufacture with regards to fertilizer, because the Ukraine was no longer the chief provider of fertilizer to farmers in order to help farmers in Africa grow food to feed the African people. You see, the globalists like to bring up the fact that there are 5 billion people, and that population must be reduced. I don't know if you've been following the World Economic Forum, if you've been following Bill Gates and the United Nations and John Kerry, you will hear the 5 billion population number continually be thrown out by these individuals. And they throw it out, and the world population is getting too much. The world population is getting too big. Obviously, they haven't really taken on China. They don't want to take on China. And China is immune from any type of climate crisis liability. You know, as long as they continue to build, coal fire plants, 2 a month, okay, they're immune from any type of criticism. And yet the United States of America has to be held accountable for the majority of this so-called climate crisis that's a man-made con job. And much to the dismay of the globalists, the pandemic, the Wuhan virus pandemic, the coronavirus, it only caused 6.8 million deaths worldwide in a population of 5 billion. So let that sink in. I think that they were dismayed and disappointed, the globalists, the elitists, that more people didn't succumb to this pandemic. And so now they're strategizing for another way, and that is to blame farming. Well, then if you blame farming, guess what? You impact the food supply. And the World Economic Forum and the New World Order, being dismayed that 6.8 million people succumb, only 6.8 million people succumb, which had little or no impact on the 5 billion people world population, and now they've come to reducing the food supply. Reduce access to food. Blame the farmer. Really? Really? Blame the farmer for producing milk. Blame the farmer for producing cattle. Blame the farmer for producing vegetables and crops to feed the American people. Rice, corn, soybeans, cattle. We saw this, we saw the effort by the extreme Biden-Harris regime back in December, along with the EU, to deny the African Union, African countries, the ability to manufacture fertilizer, as I said earlier, to help America, help the African farmers grow crops in order to feed their people. The U.S., under the extreme Biden-Harris regime in December 2022, pledged $2.5 billion, and the EU pledged just under $1 billion. So imagine, $3.5 billion is going to be given to the African Union to buy food and water to feed over 1.4 billion people. That's the way this global elitists are going to limit food supply. We already see commercials on TV here in the United States with the famine that's striking African countries for how many years now? I can remember Biafra back in the late 60s. How many times you heard that countries are facing starvation? Not only do you have the genocide being committed by the Islamic jihadists, but the food supply is scarce. And now there's a concerted effort by the New World Order, by the United States of America, by the useless nations, by the European Union to stop farmers from manufacturing fertilizer in Africa. The only thing that farmers want to do is grow crops, and they want to feed their people. And that extreme mentality, that extreme and that radical ideology has moved across to here in the United States. Why? Because of extremists that are in Washington, D.C. And it's not just limited to Biden and Harris. Don't forget that. It's not just limited to Biden and Harris, because Joe Biden is not smart enough to do this by himself. Much of this Biden-Harris regime is regurgitated from the Barack Hussein-Sotoro administration. And those that have embedded themselves as bureaucrats in Washington, D.C., and they've signed on to this radicalism. They've signed on to this extremism. And where is the media? Where is the DNC-bought media? They believe in this radical ideology that we're going to be eating bugs and processed meat that's grown in a petri dish? Is that what they want for Americans? Which, by the way, it's showing that even this artificial meats would cause up to 1,500 kilograms more of an impact to the climate crisis than having regular cattle and regular meat, real cattle. Ducky says he got a box of 60 large eggs for $7.66. That's just criminal. What's being done to the American people. And you see, the radical and extreme experiment is no longer an experiment. As Big said, stated in the chat room, it started in the Netherlands. And then it morphed and it went over to the African Union in December. And now, John Kerry, climate czar con man, is bringing it to the shores of America. This radicalism and extremism is no longer an experiment. It's being pushed by Biden, Kerry, Schwab, Gates, Obama. They've implemented their radicalism over the population control agenda in Africa, and now they have their sights set on not communist China, not communist Russia, not a totalitarian extremist terrorist regime such as Iran or Saudi Arabia. No, Kerry, Biden, Schwab, Gates, and Obama have set their sights on the United States of America. The U.S. of A. and the American farmers, with their climate crisis ruse that's being put forth by John Kerry, by Bill Gates, by Klaus Schwab, by the World Economic Forum. It's a climate crisis hoax. We should really be alarmed as Americans because the radical anti-American globalist agenda is stepping up with their extremism by unilaterally declaring a climate crisis. These extremists in Washington, D.C. have attacked America's energy independence, causing a rapid escalation in consumer prices, including grocery prices and gas prices at the pump. And now these same extremists are set on attacking America's food supply. Supply chain issues has become a real issue in less than 849 days. Think about that. In less than 849 days, America has experienced supply chain issues like we've never have. We have experienced the highest inflation in 40 years. Interest rates are escalating, and now they're blaming those with good credit should pay for those who don't have good credit. This income redistribution, the national debt is reaching unsustainable levels. And you know something with regards to the supply chain issue? Have you noticed how cavalier this regime, the Biden-Harris regime, and the failed Secretary of Commerce has treated this? You've got new parents who can't even buy formula for their newborn babies because of supply chain crisis. And they look at you like, okay, well, just think of some other way to feed your child. Oh, okay. And we're supposed to accept that. We're supposed to accept that. The United West. One last comment. I know we have a caller on the line. From the United West. Democrat climate czar conman, Democrat climate czar conman, Democrat climate czar, John Kerry calls for American farmers to stop growing food to meet the Biden's net zero goals for lowering emissions. Kerry warned that lives depend on farmers ceasing the food growing operations. Okay, so maybe he can help understand that. Now, if that's not a double talk, I don't know what is. Kerry warns that lives depend on farmers ceasing their food growing operations. Really? So throw a number out there and say that farmers produce 33% of the danger to the environment, to the climate. And then somehow what farmers produce is a threat to man. Okay, so farmers stop producing. Now what do you have? Well, you have a threat to man due to starvation. Well, if you have the government coming in saying you can't grow your own crops, you can't grow your own food supply, where are you going to get your food supply? Oh, from the federal government. You see, this is no more of, well, you know, they're out there. They're a little bit on the left. No. This is extremism. This is radicalism. This is globalism. This is a cancer. And to think what our founders, with our true patriots, the Minutemen, fought for in 1776, they left their farms, they left their homes to fight for freedoms and liberties of the 13 original colonies. And today, we have a radicalism, a cancer in Washington, D.C. that's conning the American people. You know, unless the American people stand up and fight back, this is just going to get worse, because now the Biden-Harris regime, the radicals, the extremism of the Biden-Harris regime is no longer about climate change. It's now climate crisis. They're doubling down, and they're trying to do it in a rather quick fashion. They are really forcing the issue.
Well, let's bring on our favorite climate crisis himself, the Viking. Holger, welcome.
Good evening.
Good evening. Happy Memorial Day.
Yeah, I'm really happy right now.
Well, you know, John Kerry, you know, whenever you bring up that name, it doesn't put me in a very good mood.
Lurch.
Lurch, I mean, yeah. Wow.
You know, I was listening to you, and I kept having all these flashbacks. It has been quite a few years since I dropped LSD, but I'm still have, you know, flashbacks occasionally. And, you know, are the American people going to fall for the bullshit that comes out of the government? I mean, the flat-out lies that come from the globalists, come from the World Health Organization, the CDC, you know, you'd think after COVID, you know, when they told us everybody on the planet was going to die, you know, from a disease that, you know, like 0.02% people actually died from it. You know, when they said that the vaccine would save everybody, but it didn't do anything, you'd think people would start to wise up. When you think about Al Gore bringing this whole global warming thing out in the open 20 years ago or whenever the hell it was, you know, and, you know, within a couple of years, you know, the studies that they pointed to that showed this sharp increase in temperatures worldwide, when they discovered that those numbers had been faked, that they had fraudulently been altered by the University of East Anglia over in England, you'd think people would start to wise up. You know, like, can I really believe what the government is telling me? Can I really believe what, you know, Klaus Schwab is telling me? Can I believe what John Kerry is telling me? And so I'm listening to you talking about this farmer thing and the nitrogen, and I'm like, you know, it doesn't sound to me like that's adding up too good. You know, what's the logic? What's the science behind that? And so I looked real quick, and I'll be brief here.
Mm-hmm.
The makeup of the atmosphere that we live in, okay?
All right.
Is made up of four things. They are oxygen, nitrogen, argon, and carbon dioxide. What do you think it's mostly made out of?
Oxygen, I would say.
Okay. Wrong.
Go
to the back of the class there, Mr.
Carbon dioxide.
Number one item, the number one gas in the atmosphere is nitrogen. At
okay.
78%. Oxygen is 20%. Argon is 1%. And carbon dioxide is like half of 1%. Okay.
All right.
So you think about our atmosphere is already damn near 80% nitrogen, okay? And now you start thinking about the area in a country like America that's actually being farmed. You know, think about the landmass. You know, you think about their biggest states, Alaska. There's no farming in Alaska, okay? You go to Texas, there isn't a whole lot of farming going on in Texas. A lot of ranching, but not a lot of farming. You go to California, you know, it's ridiculous. So I read from this other site, and it says, how did the Earth develop its current atmosphere? The journal Nature Geoscience links the composition of Earth's nitrogen-rich atmosphere to the same tectonic forces that drive mountain building and volcanism on our planet, okay? Alongside sulfur, steam, and carbon dioxide, volcanoes next to active tectonic plate boundaries pump massive quantities of nitrogen into the air.
Okay? Ooh.
In 2022, there were 85 volcanic eruptions across the globe. 85. Now, I just read that each volcanic eruption spews tremendous amounts of nitrogen into the atmosphere, okay? So 85 a year. And take that times, how old is the year? Like, let me ask a flatliner, is it like 2,000 years?
Well, it must be 3,500 years old.
So you think about every volcanic eruption that's ever occurred on this planet since God created it. And it all leads me back to this. To the old George Carlin stand-up routine when he was talking about global warming, and he was poking fun at the Al Gore people that these little minuscule peon human beings could actually mess up God's work. You know, could actually ruin the creation of all time, could be affected by somebody driving a little teeny car around the block. Okay? And, you know, this is my point. They come out with this stuff. Young people in school are taught this. So pretty soon they're home with their parents and they're doing school projects on it. Stop the nitrogen. Stop the farmers are killing the atmosphere and all this kind of stuff. And when it comes down to it, I'm sure if someone looked hard enough, you could find what percentage of the nitrogen in the atmosphere actually came from fertilizers that weren't utilized in the soil, okay? And then compare that to the 85 volcanoes last year. You know what I mean?
So, okay, so let me break this down for you now. Let's think about this. The volcanoes produce, the 85 volcanoes, okay, they spew all this nitrogen, right? And then what we're told is that farmers, and especially those in America, the smaller farmers, are contributing 33% to this climate crisis. 33% is being caused by farmers in the United States. So you mean to say that the farmers in Iowa and Idaho, you know, potatoes and corn, we'll just use those two crops as an example, they do more damage than 85 volcanoes that have erupted and have caused more damage to the air, even stopped airplane travel as a result of the winds from the volcanoes erupting. Huh, that's interesting.
Yeah, exactly. And so, you know, the other thing you could look at, Vito, is you could look at, okay, let's go back in America 200 years ago when you know, basically they weren't using any fertilizers. You know, what was nitrogen in the atmosphere at that time, like what, 12%?
I would, if it's 78% now, how could it be 12% in 240 years ago?
So, you know, here's the other thing they don't tell you is that when a farmer, you know, I'm come from the Midwest, so I know a little bit about farming. So a farmer puts seeds his field, plants his field, he puts down fertilizer, okay? The nitrogen in the fertilizer is used by the plants to grow. That's why they put it there. That's why these guys pay an exorbitant amount of money for fertilizer. Okay? The nitrogen in the fertilizer that isn't utilized by the plants is then, you know, basically ingested and processed by microbes in the soil. And then that would then can enter the atmosphere. But only the amount that the plant doesn't use. Okay? Now, believe it or not, I'm sure John Kerry doesn't believe this, but farmers in America aren't, you know, hay seeds. These guys don't sit around, you know, and learned how to spell, you know, 5 years ago. These guys are state-of-the-art businessmen and women. Okay? And if they got a field of corn that they've calculated is going to utilize about 10 tons of fertilizer, of nitrogen, they're not going to put down 20 tons because they won't make any money. You get where I'm coming from here?
Yes.
So, you know, this is the whole point is, and believe me, this will be, you know, within the next 6 months, this will be the big topic of conversation in this country. We'll have some elementary school project in, you know, the frickin' Bronx where the kids all bring in, you know, like, you know, little displays, you know, where farmers are being hung from trees because they're climate killers. It's going to be it's like Ferguson. Hands up, don't shoot. The whole country burned down almost. The racial divide in this country was created overnight by Barack Obama over Ferguson, over a lie that this kid said, put his hands up and said, don't shoot. It was a lie. John Kerry is spewing a lie.
Okay,
and the American people will fall for it. Once again.
This is from John Kerry. Okay, so Kerry insists that stopping farmers from growing food will lower agriculture emissions. He continued by noting that he does not even call it climate change anymore. It's not change. It's a crisis, he declared. Mitigating methane is the fastest way to reduce warming in the short term, Kerry claimed as he took aim at livestock farmers. Food and agriculture can continue to contribute to a lower methane future by improving farmer productivity and resilience, he said further. We welcome agriculture ministers participating in the implementation of a global methane pledge. So now we have a global methane pledge. Okay, we're going to pledge to climate crisis. We're going to join the Agenda 2030. And now that ruse is successful, we can now double down and go with a global methane pledge. So there's more gas coming out of John Kerry and the global elitist than what's being produced by the 85 volcanoes that erupted last year.
Yeah. Well, and you could ask Kerry, well, what's causing the crisis? First you said it was nitrogen from the fertilizer.
Right.
Now you're talking about methane, which comes from cows and livestock. And so what you're telling me is that 500,000 cows, let's make it a million. A million cows in the western United States out there on the range just minding their own crap, you know, feeding on some grasses, you know, farting a couple times a day, okay? Those million cows are destroying the climate.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Kerry, have you ever been on the highways in Southern California during the work week? You know, I mean, I heard one time when the Europe thing was going on over in the Netherlands, they were complaining about the fumes from the tractors and the equipment that the farmers use in the fields, that this was polluting and dangerous emissions. And I'm like, my God, I mean, there's more cars in Minneapolis than there are, you know, tractors in the next four states. I mean, it is one of those things where it's so ludicrous that people actually believe it.
Yeah.
And you know, it's I don't know, it's just beyond me that this stuff, these people, they use the word crisis now because it's worked. You know, COVID wasn't COVID was a crisis. Oh my God, it's a pandemic crisis.
Right.
You know, we are 4 year olds in their eyes. John Kerry thinks we're all 4 year olds. Oh my God, it's a crisis. It, you know, it's like the little kids back in the Cold War days when they had to do the bomb drill and how everybody had to get under their desk. You know, oh, it's a crisis.
Yep. Yep.
So,
John Kerry wants you and me subservient to the government, and they want subservience to the Fed, to a world government body as well.
Yep. Well, bottom line is he's sounding the alarm against methane because they want everybody to eat, you know, lab engineered meat. You know, and of course, most of that money is going to go in Bill Gates' pocket. And in essence, they want the food supply in this country to be completely controlled by the government. They can't afford to have Joe independent farmer out in North Dakota, you know, bringing in 50,000 bushels of wheat a year, or some rancher in Texas, you know, bringing all that beef to market without government having control over it. So if the meat has to be replaced by lab engineered protein, I imagine that those facilities might even be government owned or might be regulated by the government, might be taxed by the government, might be shut down by the government whenever they want to. Vito and Al aren't paying much attention to our latest vaccine announcement, so you know, maybe their credit card's not going to work to buy the lab protein. Let's see how long they last on wheat and corn.
Well, you know what? You brought up about the lab-grown meat, okay? So there's a link to the article concerning John Kerry's radicalism, and it says Bill Gates' lab-grown meat, 25% worse for climate than beef. And so what in the article itself, it says that researchers have revealed that lab-grown or cultured meat produced by cultivating animal cells is up to 25% worse for the climate than real beef. So, you know, I guess they don't want us to really see that part of it because cultured beef actually contributes like up to 1,500 kilograms more, which is 25 times more what a real cow produces. Imagine that. And so now we're being lied to in so many ways. And now the extremism of the Biden-Harris regime, because John Kerry is part of that regime. And the first thing that a Republican president needs to do is disband the climate change czar position and every position that's associated with it. Okay, it's time to get fiscally responsible. And this is so irresponsible and instilling this fear into the American people and now attacking America's heartland, farmers, is just it's reprehensible.
Well, and one of the things, you know, I've talked about, one of the best things that we can do as just regular Joes and Janes is when we are with people, when we are with friends, we are with family, with coworkers, neighbors, whatever, is to talk about the failures of government, to point out the failures of government. So you're having a chat with your neighbor and, you know, asking how you're feeling and all that kind of good stuff, and then you joke around about the fact that, well, at least we don't have to worry about the COVID thing anymore. And by the way, Mr. Neighbor, you know, how foolish does it make you feel? How big a fool do you think you were back 2 years ago when you were standing on that dot 6 feet away from another dot in line at the grocery store? And if you took 1 foot out of that dot, people looked at you the wrong way. And when they told you that you had to get in line to get that vaccine, which you found out that doesn't work, what do you think of your U.S. government now? You know, that's what has to be done. It's like if John Kerry was speaking at some government thing or some making a speech somewhere, if someone stood up and asked him a question like, okay, is your information on climate crisis just as accurate as the government's information and data was on COVID-19? And see what he would say.
It's better. We have pinpointed more of what cow farting does to the environment versus coming out of a lab, let's say in Wuhan, China. No,
Sorry.
Well, Mr. Kerry, let me ask you. There was recently a volcanic eruption in Iceland. I would like you to tell the audience here exactly how much nitrogen was sent into the atmosphere from that volcanic eruption, and then compare that to how much nitrogen came out of the soil in America in the past year.
Well, that's an unfair question to pose, Mr. Holzer, considering the population is vastly different in Iceland with the population of 4 versus that in the heartland in the United States with 25 times more of the population. And I'll just have you know this. I am willing to sacrifice my wealth. My catch-up wealth. Believe me, I get more gratification watching a child eating a hamburger, putting Heinz ketchup on that burger, trying to slap that bottle so that that burger will have the necessary amount of ketchup on it. You don't understand what I'm willing to sacrifice in my elderly age.
Well, you know, I would probably follow up with a question as to the fact that, well, what you're saying is that the volcanic eruptions in Iceland only hover over the island of Iceland.
Yeah.
When actually, because one last point, I'll get off here. I watched this video one day where these guys were talking about, you know, this guy was an climate crisis guy. And he says, I want you to tell me, you know, when we're going to see improvement. Okay. So if we do all this stuff that you want us to do, when is the temperatures and when is the air going to be? And they said, well, we can't give you that. And he said, well, would it be safe to say that if China doesn't join in the effort that we will never reach your goals? And they actually admitted to it. They said, no, that would. So I looked it up, and 25% of the emissions that, you know, they claim affect climate change come from America. 30% come from China. So this guy at this venue was made the comment. He says, so in other words, what you're saying is you want America to bankrupt itself over your climate change, and yet you can't even tell us when it would get better or if it would ever get better. You know, think about that.
Well, that holds you. That goes to the point that I was trying to make earlier, and that is how John Lertz Carey and the climate crisis hoax, they assign a percentage, 33% of the the agriculture production contributes, 33%. And by 2050, the temperature is going to rise by another degree, and by 2030, we're going to go net zero emissions. Where do you come up with these numbers? Where? And so here it was, he was being pushed, and finally he has to admit that if China doesn't agree to this, then it's all pushed by the wayside. But in the meantime, isn't it the Marxist goal is to systematically dismantle the United States of America and its constitutional republic? And that's how you do it, because we have this whole entire woke culture. Communist China is not going to change. They're ruling that country with an iron fist. They could care. As a matter of fact, they love the idea that the United States of America is being held to a higher standard, which means that it's going to cost more. And they'll redistribute the wealth, and it's exactly what they're doing. They're redistributing America's wealth. $11.2 billion is sent to the African Union. Just $2.5 was just sent in December for them not to manufacture fertilizer, but to help feed the African people. You're going to feed 1.4 billion people with $2.5 billion. That's insane. And where do they come up with these numbers? Exactly. Where do they come up with these percentages? Oh, well, you know, cows contribute to 40% of all the farting, you know, with the methane gas. Well, where did you come up with that number? Do you stand out in a field and measure the number of amount of gas that comes out of a cow's ass? I mean, this is insane.
Well, let me ask you this. Are there more cows in America, or are there more dogs and cats in America?
I would say there's more dogs and cats. Just
okay.
go to Al's house,
so
for crying out loud.
We don't see them daring to go after, you know, euthanizing every cat and dog in America, do they?
Well, aside from the Koreans, who eats dogs and cats? No, seriously, but they're not a delicacy. I mean, however, cows are, aren't they? And if your goal is to get a meatless society, you know, I mean, and listen, I know Al has no aver- – you know what? You can order a steak in front of Al. He doesn't care. And I don't care what he eats. And that's, you know what? That's goes to show the radicalism of the left wing is intolerance. And at least there's some logic on the part that, you know, you can have a conversation and Al and I can sit there, I can have my artery closing burger, you know, and he can be eating healthy. It doesn't matter. He's okay with it. And, you know, whatever happened to that? Now we've got these radicals who are telling us what we should eat, where we should shop, how we should eat, and what we should eat.
Yeah. Well, I think in summary, it comes down to the fact that if the average American makes $40,000 a year, and if John Kerry and all these people have their way, and that becomes, instead of $40,000 a year, becomes $10,000 a year.
Right.
You would be amazed at how much more quickly the attitude in the country will change to embracing Marxism.
You must pay your
fair
share.
There's always a method to the madness. You know,
that's right.
We talked about destroying the middle class. What better way to destroy the middle class than to take all of their money away by climate change, climate crisis, you know, maneuvering.
Right.
You know, they don't really care if China does a damn thing or not, because the climate crisis is a bunch of hogwash. It's a lie. All they care about is making America ripe for a Marxist overthrow. That's all that matters. That's the goal.
You know, 100% agree.
The goal isn't to give safety and freedom to, you know, 50 million people south of our border. The goal is to get 50 million votes, people that'll vote for communism. That's the goal.
Dependency, that soft communism.
But you know, you don't expect any, you know, don't expect any congressman or senator to go after John Kerry, because, you know, old John Kerry is one of the good old boy network there, you know.
That's right.
He probably still has his little, you know, lapel name tag for, you know, Senator Kerry. All right. I'm out of here. Good show, guys.
All right. Hey, great
Thanks.
Call, Holder.
Take
All
it
right,
easy,
I can,
Holder.
All right. Well, I can tell you this, Vito, that Holder is 100% right, because the last time that this happened, when you had started your story with John Kerry wanting to take private land, it sent shivers up my spine, because the last time this happened was in 1929. Stalin, who was the leader of Russia, he in the Ukraine, he went to privatize and take the farmers' land in Ukraine. Ukraine is the breadbasket of Europe. Well, Stalin, in 1929, he was motivated by the goal of transforming the Ukrainian nation into his idea of a modern proletarian socialist nation. He had visions of the Ukraine breadbasket feeding all of Russia's people in one big socialist nation, and in order for him to do that in the socialist communist way, Stalin believed that he needed to take the land from the Ukrainian farmers. So the 50,000 biggest Ukrainian farm families, he arrested them, sent them to Siberia. He single-handedly took the rest of the family farms that were collectively the major producers, just like here in America, of wheat and grains and soybeans and foodstuffs necessary for survival. And then what resulted from this is the famine of 1932 and 33 that stemmed from those decisions by the Stalinist government, and 3.5 million people starved to death. Stalin used the starving people. He starved the people in order to take their farms, and the farmers did not produce at all.
Ooh.
It was a self-fulfilling prophecy. It was a socialist, communist, Marxist dream, a utopia that Stalin believed and what Kerry believes as a Marxist. And I think that he wants to transform the breadbasket of America, and maybe not the exact same way, but definitely in a parallel way. And you know, when they say that history repeats itself, but not exactly as it did before, what Stalin tried to do to the farmers of Ukraine is exactly what Kerry will do or trying to do here in the United States, because when AOC came up with her Green New Deal 2-3 years ago, both of us thought that was the craziest idea on planet Earth. And lo and behold, if it did not become a reality and became a part of Biden's policy in a very big way, and now we're suffering for it with all of this climate crisis, weather change, and they're using that as the vehicle to transform the American economy into a socialist nation, just like Stalin tried to do in Ukraine. Very scary stuff, with a historical precedent going back, 90 years? Not too long ago in the scheme of things. So put that in your hookah and smoke it.
That is that's a good find. It really is, because when you talk about history repeating itself, so this is nothing new. They're not coming up with anything original. They, meaning the Biden-Harris or the world globalist body, is not coming up with anything new. They're just trying to perfect what worked. And what worked was the communist Russia, the Soviet Union taking over, the Ukrainian land and starving people. And it's exactly what the proposal is from John Kerry and the Biden-Harris regime. They're proposing the same exact thing.
And it was such a failure, of monumental proportion, this collectivization of the farms of Ukraine. Stalin's wife was so against what her husband was doing, she committed suicide, and that still didn't stop him at all. And then let's hop forward to the modern day, and then you've got Hanoi Jane Fonda.
Oh.
Now, she, according to the Daily Wire, she's blaming white men for, quote, climate crisis, also known as weather change, and she demands their imprisonment. Now, actress Jane Fonda, whose Marxist views have engendered harsh criticism over the decades, added to her resume over the weekend, holding white men responsible for the climate crisis and demanding their imprisonment, is absolutely insanity.
Yeah, I've seen the video on Twitter, and I got to say,
mm-hmm.
I think Hanoi Jane should have been left in North Vietnam. She is a traitor to the United States of America. She's a traitor to the American people. I understand why veterans have no use for her, but the radicalism that's coming out of her mouth today and this recent time is something that we thought we would never, ever see. And there's no place in society for an individual in the American society, in a free enterprise society, for that type of radicalism. She uses the First Amendment to destroy the First Amendment, but if she loves that class warfare, she would love communist Russia. She would love communist China, and she might as well just move there, because what she's saying is reprehensible. It's horrendous.
Well, she did love the communist Viet Cong Vietnamese.
That she did.
And speaking about what's coming out of her mouth, she did an interview with OutKick, and she said this quote: "We've got about 7 to 8 years to cut ourselves in half of what we use of fossil fuels. Unfortunately, the people that have the least responsibility for it are hit the hardest. Global South people on islands, poor people of color. It is a tragedy," Jane Fonda says, "that we have to absolutely stop. We have to arrest and jail those men. They're all men behind this. It's good for us all to realize there would be no climate crisis if there was no racism," she continued. "There would be no climate crisis if there was no patriarchy, a mindset that sees things in a hierarchical way. White men are the things that matter, and then everything else is at the bottom. You can take anything," she says, "racism, sexism, misogyny, homophobia, whatever, the war. If you really get into it and study it and learn about it and the history of it, everything's connected. There'd be no climate crisis if it wasn't for racism," she posited. She is a lunatic.
Yeah.
She is on the spectrum, Vito, of idiocy, and she's dangerous. I mean, you called her a traitor for her past activities during the Vietnam War and then going forward to the modern day. She is a traitor. She is an agitator. She is the enemy within, and she sounds like such a lunatic. Nobody takes her seriously, but apparently John Kerry does, and he was appointed the leader of weather change for the Biden administration. That puts him in a policymaking position, so whether you agree with him or not, or you think he's a total loon, which I do, he is still in a position of power, and he can further this damaging, dangerous Marxist policies within the Biden administration. That is that's exactly what he's doing, in my opinion.
Yeah, and Al, it's not just a globalist. I mean, it's not just a Marxist. It's a globalist agenda, and he's flat out lying to the American people. And Hanoi Jane, only thing she's doing is she's mimicking exactly what the DNC, the Democrat National Committee, has put out there as talking points. And you notice that seems to be the buzz, the same type of buzzwords that are used by the Democrats in general. The Democrats are talking about climate crisis. The Democrats are talking about white men now contributing, you know, being the cause of climate change in the United States. And this class warfare and this anti-whiteness is being adopted by the very radicals of the left wing, and that would be of the Democrat Party. The Democrat National Committee, and I know that there's not much difference between Democrats and Republicans, but the Democrat National Committee sets out their talking points, and you notice how the left wing has adopted the same language. They blame climate change, racism on climate change now. They blame climate change on whiteness, and it's the same phony narrative, and sadly, the media being controlled by the Democrat National Committee, they don't put a stop to this insanity. They don't point out that Hanoi Jane, you know, is a traitor to her nation and why. They don't point out that the majority of those brave men who served in Vietnam who are still alive have no use. For Jane Fonda and what she did in betraying her country and betraying the American soldier and standing in lockstep with the North Vietnamese, the communists. And so now it's fashionable to get on board with the communists. It's fashionable. And the Democrat Party's in lockstep with the communists, with the Marxists. And it's sickening. And to hear Jane Fonda spew this shit and people that are sitting in the other women that are sitting on a couch or in chairs adjacent to her making this outrageous and
asinine statement. They're shaking their head. Yeah, like Rita Moreno, oh, shaking her head, you know, that it's white men that are causing the racism. Fuck you, okay? That's what one of them should have told her. You know what? Go sit down and take your red ass to China or to Russia and start spewing this garbage that it's white men that are causing this. You know, the media isn't doing it. The media isn't calling out this insanity, this radicalism, this anti-whiteness. Suddenly, white men are blamed for everything. You know, and this is what fuels the fire of hate. And sadly, you know, the black Americans who are trying to make something of themselves, you know, as far as showing their fellow brothers, black brothers and sisters, that the government is the reason why, okay, our population is kept independency, have the same abilities that any other person of race, creed, and color have. And that is not a lie. That is not. Dr. Ben Carson, okay, a brain surgeon, you're telling me that that man who came from nothing, who put, you know, pulled himself up from the bootstraps? How about ball players coming out of poverty, okay, to showing their talents? Business leaders, businessmen and women. The owner of Black Entertainment Center, a Black Entertainment Network, okay? You're telling me that that man started out as a billionaire? Bull. Bull. What a slap
well,
in the face
to me.
Go ahead. Sorry.
Well, as we speak about Memorial Day, as you are currently at Revere Beach in Mass, there's chaos brewing, chaos riots after shootings and several fights were reported, and the police are disgusted by the violence, and looks like it's primarily black people and a few whites in there rioting at Revere Beach on celebrating Memorial Day.
In Massachusetts?
Disgusting. This is in Mass, Revere, Paul Revere Beach.
You know what? I don't feel sorry for Massachusetts in the least. Massachusetts, it's the – you know what? You want to go back to the Revolutionary War? Massachusetts was ground zero, okay, for the launching of Patriots, the launching of the Minutemen, the launching of the United States of America with 13 colonies. It was the place in which to rose up and fought against tyranny, fought against the monarchy, fought against totalitarianism being overtaxed. And now Massachusetts is a chief Marxist in the United States of America. So you know what? All these politicians, these left-wing politicians, are now getting sick of it in Massachusetts. Well, finally, why don't you wake up and start understanding there's nothing wrong with imposing law, imposing the rule of law, okay? All this stuff about this lack of respect that's occurring all around the United States is a travesty. So I don't feel sorry for the state of Massachusetts in one being. I feel sorry for the people that have been sold a bill of goods by the Massachusetts state legislature.
Well, the people got what they voted for.
Exactly.
You vote for this, you get it, you own it. People of Chicago, same thing. You voted these people into office. That's obviously what the majority of the voters wanted. Welcome to our republic. You got what you voted for. If you don't like it, leave, as many people and businesses are doing. And they're fleeing from Chicago, California, San Francisco, Portland. And they're moving to Texas and Florida. Unfortunately, they're bringing their same crap here, but that's a whole other story.
You know, leave your politics at the border, you know?
Yeah. And you know, for these black people that are rioting with the BLM like they did during the protest, they can't say that they're no longer relevant in the arts, because take Ariel with the Little Mermaid is a great example of how far our culture has changed. And at the box office, the Little Mermaid, they changed race of the Little Mermaid, which is the original was written by Hans Christian Andersen. Well, they changed the Little Mermaid from a white person to a black person. It's called a race swap. They race swapped the title character, and the film's been the subject of both controversy and excessive praise. Disney live-action remakes have consistently adjusted the original material to appeal to current sensibilities and to make casting less white and the content more woke. Their current Disney is wants to make casting less white and more woke. Disney pursues purists who cherish the classic 89 animated film and wanted it a more faithful adaptation of the story were a bit perturbed. While there's no doubt that Haley Bailey, the actress playing Ariel, who is extremely talented, it was just a puzzling move for a story based on a fairy tale by the Danish author Hans Christian Andersen. And then even in one theater where it was showing, riots broke out. People were beating the shit out of each other in a theater while this was showing, because they had a it's on YouTube Shorts. You can find it. It's crazy. Oh. It is insane. So, and like you said, I think that this manufacturing of race, of race riots, race culture, and because things never used to be this bad under Trump. Yeah, there's always going to be racism. There's always going to be a-holes on both sides. But overall, people didn't care. People were too busy making a living. But now it's become a way to separate society, and the Marxists are using that as a wedge to separate us. And if you read the book, Unrestricted Warfare, it's by two Chinese colonels. They go into great detail how you destroy the culture, and a lot of this is done through the medium of TikTok, which has millions of subscribers. People make a ton of money off of it, and they're using TikTok algorithms to destroy our culture from within, along with drugs and the fentanyl and the precursors that they're giving to the cartels in Mexico to make all this fentanyl to give to the kids to make them drug addicts and to kill them. It is the definition of unrestricted warfare. And if you think that we are not at war with China, and you think that's crazy talk, well, it's not.
No,
it's
not.
They want to unseat us as the world's superpower, and they've been wanting to do it, but they played the long game. They've been wanting to do it for 100 years or more.
And look, all you have to do is Google Saul Alinsky's 12 Rules for Radicals. Now, you want to understand, and we keep talking about Marxism and how it's infected the left wing, infected the Democrat Party, infected the United States. Just take a look at the Rules for Radicals. And when it comes up, there is a box with 8 bullet points. How to create a socialist state. Okay, and number 8, class warfare. Divide the people into the wealthy and the poor. This will cause more discontent. It will be easier to tax the wealthy with the support of the poor. And this redistribution of wealth that's being done, they've done the same thing. They followed number 2 of Saul Alinsky, poverty. Increase the poverty levels as high as possible. Poor people are easy to control and will not fight back if you are providing everything for them to live. And then chaos. What did Yuri Bezmenov talk about, the KGB agent, in 1983? What was his goal in the 70s as the Minister of Propaganda for the United States? Create chaos. Create chaos. And that's the chief role in implementing Marxism. Create chaos. And we have chaos in the streets. We have chaos.
Oh, yeah.
In many parts of the United States, especially in the big cities. And you know, it's one – look how many ways this regime, the Biden-Harris regime, are throwing different sets of chaos at the United – at Americans, at the border, energy, taxation, chaos in the streets. You know, it's just one crisis after another. And you know what, in less than 849 days, the implementation of this instability in the United States, and now they're throwing another a crisis at us, this climate crisis, and they're attacking the very fabric of America, the U.S. farmer, and they're attacking our food supply. Their intent is to attack our food supply, and that in itself should give each and every American pause and cause Americans to say enough is enough. I don't know where my legislature or my congressman stands on this, but they better get their butt back in Washington, D.C. and fight like hell against this totalitarianism that's coming from Washington, D.C. This globalist mentality that sought to starve Americans now, limit America's food supply so that you have even more of a crisis in the United States. I mean, that's totally a man-made manufactured crisis. You're going to limit the food supply in the United States to meet the globalist agenda. That Americans should never tolerate this. It is time. You know, we can't be sitting back here and a year from now, in 2024, all of a sudden we're wondering why there's a supply chain issue concerning our food.
Mm-hmm. Well, there is a little bright light, because one thing about Hollywood, going back to The Little Mermaid, is that people vote with their dollars when they go to the box office. So The Little Mermaid, here's the numbers. It failed. The Little Mermaid over the long weekend failed to top the non-woke Super Mario Brothers movie. The Super Mario Brothers movie had box office take of $204.6 million. Now, if you compare apples to apples, The Little Mermaid made only $95.5 million, excluding its Memorial Day take. Excluding
Whoa.
It. That's pretty – now, if you were to read the media – now, so the Super Mario Brothers movie made more than double what The Little Mermaid did over the same period of time, but the media is presenting The Little Mermaid as some box office record breaker. Well, let me tell you, it isn't. Disney, through their wokeness, they don't care about making a profit – on their content. They'd rather make woke content that doesn't make money. And the Super Mario Brothers is a great example of it. So things are not always what they seem in the media. And the media is lying to you about The Little Mermaid because that they want to advance this Marxist racial agenda to try to divide people. But The Little Mermaid, people aren't going to go see it.
Who released the Super Mario Brothers?
Crap. Good question.
Is that like a Universal?
Let's see. Well, the I'll find it and get back to you.
Well,
Pixar.
I mean, Pixar.
Wait, Pixar is Disney though.
Pixar is Disney. Interesting.
Mm. Whatever. Woke versus unwoke. Mario Brothers wins. Little Black Mermaid, not so much.
Yeah. That's horrible. It really is. The forced indoctrination, and they're indoctrinating this left-wing, this radical left-wing ideology, and they're making it into mainstream, and it's nothing. It's not mainstream. You know, just like last week, they were chastising, what's her name? His name, Brittany Griner. They were dismayed that it wasn't a sellout. Well, you see, because it's symbolism over substance.
Yep. Here you go. I got the answer to your question. The Super Mario Brothers movie is a collaboration between Nintendo and Illumination. So it seems that Disney has been spending too much time trying to erase white characters from its classics or pushing its gay agenda on children to realize that the key to success is catering to the fans, not the woke mob. So kudos to Nintendo and Illumination and the Super Mario Brothers. Isn't that funny how art imitates life in a lot of ways?
Yes.
A little cliche, but so true.
It is so true. You know, all we want to do is we want to live our lives as Americans, keep the government out of it, and stop forcing this radical agenda, you know, down our throats. You know, we don't care what your sexuality is. But don't force it upon the society that we have to make it mainstream or that everybody and their grandmother accepts this way of life. They don't.
Yeah. I mean, even the PGA, you take Griot, the guy who just won this PGA tournament. You know what he did in between rounds, for the playoff round? He's players will go and they'll hit balls. Well, he invited two kids who were there with their dad, and he asked the father, hey, do your kids want to hit some balls with me while I'm waiting? So he took these two kids out of the stands, and they were hitting balls, which was phenomenal. And it endeared him to the American people. It endeared him to golf enthusiasts around the world, because golfers today, their signatures on everything is in such high demand because it's big money, because you resell all of that, all the sports memorabilia. It's a huge business. So professional athletes don't do that anymore.
I mean, okay.
When was the last time you saw a pro golf or even a pro baseball player interacting with the fans like that? Of course, except for this Newberger who ran into the stand, minus him. I haven't seen it. Maybe you have. I don't know.
You know, you see it during practice rounds, but okay, so I'm going to say this. And so I saw that little episode. By the way, Holger said that Illumination is part of Universal, so that's a little kick in the pants. So maybe have a little bit of Universal and Disney war here. So I'm watching this. The kid comes out, and the guy Grillo is hitting balls, right?
Yeah.
All right, so the issue is, I thought that Grillo was hitting balls on the first tee, okay, and he was hitting it down the fairway. If that was the case, then he should have been disqualified from playing in the playoff, because you're not allowed to practice on the course in which the tournament is being held during tournament time. And technically, he was still in the tournament.
Right, because if the playoff went for a lot of holes, it could have maybe gone to – well, that's the rule. The rule's the rule. I didn't even think about that. Interesting.
Now, if he took him and he took the kid and he was at the range and he did it, there's nothing wrong with that at all. But that's how I'm thinking, holy crap. I told my wife, I said, wait a minute, he can't do that. He's on the first tee hitting balls. He can't do that with anybody. So
I guess nobody had the guts to even bring it up with good reason. That might have been the case. Could you imagine? God, you'd be the – people would hate you.
Well, I'd call in as Al. Hi, this is Big Al from Global Patriot Radio. No, I'd say this is Hank Jones from Poly Sports.
Oh.
Oh, wait,
Grillo's
Hank's going
to get grilled.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know
right?
if you noticed this, PGA professionals, but Grillo was on the first tee hitting kids with kids out of the stands.
Yeah, that's a rules violation.
Oh, that is so funny. You're the only person I've heard mention that.
Well, you know, when I saw him hitting balls, it looked like he was on the first tee, and he was showing the kids how to hit golf balls. Well, you can't – I mean, that should have been an automatic disqualification if he was on the first tee. So.
Yeah. Good catch. Very observant.
Yeah. Oh, just a killjoy, am I?
No, the rules are important. The rules are there. As much as you hate them, that's what makes golf golf, is following the rules. I mean, golfers, even if you call – you have to call rule violations on yourself, where if you – a ball moves or – there's so many little rules, and if you violate them, you need to make the call on yourself, and that is how the golf is played. That's how it's taught to kids. And golf is a great learning experience for kids because it teaches them discipline, it teaches them rules, and it teaches them honesty, because you have to call infractions on yourself if you play honestly. And that's why you can learn more about a person's character on the golf course. People joke about that all the time. But that's probably the main reason in business where you can learn about who your business acquaintances or potential customers or people in general, you learn who they are by how they play golf. Do they cheat? Do they don't cheat? You know, blah, 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 blah.
Well,
I'll tell you what, I've just been sent a text that yes, indeed, he was on the first tee practicing. So I'd like to get I'm going to have to find out a clarification if regular play had been is over for Grillo, but the rule states that you are not allowed to practice on the course in which the tournament is being held during tournament play. So you can't go out at 8 o'clock in the morning if you have a 2 o'clock tee time and hit balls on the course. You can walk the course, but you can't hit balls. And therefore, I think that I'm very surprised that it wasn't called. So there has to be a local rule then with the PGA that only applies during competition, during regular competition play, if in fact that would be the call. That was just kind of odd. So
yeah, maybe only the kids hit. Maybe the kids only hit the balls, not him.
No, he was hitting. I saw him take two iron shots. And even the commentators were commenting about him hitting, to stay loose. And I'm surprised that Ian Baker Finch didn't even call it. I mean, because he's been a member of the PGA a long time. So, and even Kurt Byron too. So I was just kind of surprised that didn't go. But Jim Nance was already talking about what happened in 1944. So he was kind of oblivious to the action that was going around. He comes up with some inane crap. So speaking of inane crap, but the issue being is that we have a radical anti-American agenda afoot. And the fact is that I would hope that Americans around the country start calling their representatives, and it's irrespective of party affiliation, but you already know that the Democrat Party members are going to support the Biden-Harris radical global scam agenda. And to attack America's farmers and blame them for the climate change hoax is reprehensible in itself, but it is unconscionable that the government, the federal government, would even consider limiting the food supply here in America. I just, all because of these globalists who have a problem with the fact that the world is sitting at about a 5 billion person population and growing, and they're finding ways, and that would be the Gates, the Carries, the Klaus Schwabs, the United Nations are finding ways to limit population in the world. And I think it's very, very troubling what we are seeing coming about today, and how the new religion for the left wing, for the Marxist, is Mother Earth, globalism. And they're using climate change as an excuse to limit the world population. And now we have a radical anti-American regime in Washington, D.C., who will allow the government to start suppressing the American farmer. And that should not be tolerated. The original patriots of 1776 left their families, they left their farms to give us a nation that of freedom and liberties, and our liberties are being stolen. They're being absconded from on a seemingly daily basis. And in 849 short days, in less than that, we have this radical anti-American regime attacking the very fabric of our United States existence. And it's really sad what we're seeing. I know I'm going to contact my two U.S. senators. I'm going to contact my congressman. And I'll tell you, you'll know exactly where your congressman or congresswoman sits by the reply that you get. And if they support the radical Biden-Harris global scam agenda, we have a problem, Houston. And it's time, the American people are going to have to get more aggressive and stand up and fight this totalitarianism.
Amen. Well, I look forward to hearing the responses that you do get, because I think that's fantastic.
I don't get many responses anymore, so obviously my name or my comments are being flagged, and I don't get many people many of my elected officials responding.
And it doesn't pay to send a letter to, let's say, John Kerry or a senator in Massachusetts, because they won't even, oh, I'm sorry, but your zip code indicates that you're not from the state of Massachusetts.
So I can't talk. Yeah, it's ridiculous. Even on Twitter, I can't remember the last time a politician even responded on their Twitter page to tweets that they had gotten from just people.
Oh, yeah, they don't. They don't. You know, Elizabeth Warren
The only one who did was President Trump. Yeah, the only one who did was President Trump. He interacted on Twitter, and people yelled at him for it. That's what made President Trump great.
He sent out mean tweets. He hurt my feelings. He sent out mean
And they
mean
weren't
tweets.
Mean. He told the truth.
Yes.
You call me a name, I'll call you something back.
Yeah. Yeah, the same ones that were offended by President Trump's tweet called him every curse word in the book, and somehow they were offended by President Trump, but it was okay for them to call him, you know, drop the F-bomb and call him an SOB and call him all kinds of names, and yet they were offended because he said the media is lying to you. CNN is fake news.
Yeah.
Jeez. Wow. Well, so Al, we are at the end of the show. It's unbelievable.
Boy, that went fast.
It sure did. It sure did. So it's a holiday, and tomorrow back to work for the majority of people. And if you have your day off or your children are out of school, you know, congratulations. Summer is upon us, you know, please keep aware of your surroundings and check out Hank Jones and Poly Sports. Hank's in the house right now, but Hank Jones, Poly Sports on Wednesday at 6 p.m. Eastern time. Thursday, Hank has the hankering, and it's check it out. He'll let you know on Wednesday if he'll have a show on Thursday. Friday, Take No Prisoners with me. I'll be hosted. It's a conservative, casual Take No Prisoners. There's nothing casual about it. Saturday is Simon Dakdak and the Beautiful Christy revealing the truth about Islam, 10 p.m. Eastern time. Sunday, I think Eric's going to have a show. It's the interfaith dialogue with the Cross and the Crescent discussion. And Monday, Al and I will be back at 6 p.m. Eastern time. Please keep a couple of people in your thoughts and prayers. That would be G Ski of Airwaves America and, of course, our own Sue from New Mexico. Check out Annie, Southern Sense Talk Radio, Friday afternoons, 1 to 4 p.m. with her great co-host, author Curtis Bennett. She has she'll have several guests on her show from 1 to 4 p.m. on Blog Talk Radio. If you want an apolitical show, a break from politics, check out the Simone Nicole Show Wednesday evenings at 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Spreaker.com. That's a Blog Talk Radio sister station. That's Spreaker.com. You got Audrey Russo of Real Talk Radio, 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Thursdays. Check out Audrey's show on Real Talk Radio and her great sidekick, Mr. P. He's got some great rants. Also, Joe Gibson, Tuesday evenings at 7 p.m. Eastern Time, Restoring Our Republic. Also, check out RZ's show on Saturday evenings at 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Spreaker.com as well. And I encourage you to contact your representatives and senators and let them know to stop attacking America's farmers. Stop attacking America's food supply and stop this climate change con that's now infected the United States government. Al, any parting shots?
Adios, amigos, and enjoy the weather changes this week.
Yes, and thank you to Bigfoot, our big patriot. Go to www.bigfootsplace.blogspot.com. A great blog spot. Ducky Northwest, nice to see you as well. Hank Jones and Poly Sports, check them out Wednesday evening right here on Global Patriot Radio. And, of course, Sue from New Mexico. Thank you, Sue, and God bless you. And thank you to all of you out there in podcast land. And you guys take care of yourselves. Be safe out there. Enjoy the rest of your holiday. And may God bless the United States of America. Ciao for now. For what is a man? What?
one has begun.
If not himself, then he has not to say the thing he truly feels, and not the words of one who kneels. The record shows I took the blow.
Wow. That went fast.
It sure did. I tell you, that's a hell of a catch about Griot.
Yeah,
he was definitely on tee number one.
I'm surprised. I really am. I thought that would be a violation because it's clear. I mean, I know from minor league events that, you know, we're told you can't practice on the course during tournament time, and the tournament was still going on. That's why they have a range.
Right.
I'm surprised.
I don't know.
I really am.
Well, it's almost like Griot went out there on purpose. He was going there anyway. That's where he wanted to go hit balls.
Which is kind of odd because at some point in time, if you had, you know, what if they had 10 playoff holes? You know, what if they had 10 playoffs and they had to continue on? At what point hole number one would come into use? And he's already played the hole four times, and then now he's played it a fifth time, and he knows what he's going to hit off the tee. I mean, that's an unfair advantage.
Mm-hmm. And nobody, what's that?
No, go ahead. I was done.
No. I said you're going to look it up and see what if it's a rule violation. I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm looking all over, and I haven't seen. I Googled, did Griot hit balls on hole one during playoff? Is that a rules violation? And I got nothing.
Nothing, huh?
I mean, I could have missed it in here, but nothing.
I think it might be worth sending something over to the PGA to find out, you know, to clarify the rule. Did Griot, you know, violate, break the rule? And if so, why wasn't he called on it?
And why didn't he call it on himself?
Yeah, exactly. Now, if they were designating the first hole as being the range temporarily, okay, that's, you know, then you understand it. But the fact that he was out there hitting balls in the first tee, that, I don't know. That's kind of suspect. I'd have a problem with it.
What's that?
That he's out there hitting balls.
Oh, calling?
You know, yeah. That the USGA or the PGA didn't call it rules infraction.
Yeah, because, I mean, I even remember at the local course when the putting green was being resurfaced and unusable, we would go to hole 18 and practice putting there. But even just for Saturday play, you couldn't putt towards the hole. You had to putt away from the hole.
Yes.
Or not to the hole, because that would give you an unfair advantage once everybody teed up and went on their way.
That's correct. And the tournament was still going on yesterday, even though Griot his round was completed. The tournament was still underway, which meant that he's under tournament rules. You can't practice on the tournament field, and that's what he was doing.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. I think the little kids. I think they played him.
Well, under the new rules, though, they can't go back and take it away because you can't. Somebody can't call in a day later and affect the rule now. So it needed to be called at that time.
I think they need to DQ those two little kids and not allow them anywhere near a PGA tournament for the next 3 weeks.
Take it out the little kids. Oh, they're scarred for life.
From happy, high, loving the PGA and Griot to hating the PGA.
And Grillo hating kids. Pull the DiVincenzo, poor guy who forgot to sign his card at the Masters and ended up losing the tournament. Oh,
I didn't hear this story.
Yeah, back in the Masters in 1967, I think it was, DiVincenzo had a one-stroke lead. And he forgot to – he signed for an incorrect scorecard, and he was a stroke – he was imposed a two-stroke penalty and ended up losing the Masters by one.
Oh, for not signing the card, that's a two-stroke penalty.
Incorrect scorecard.
Oh, incorrectly.
He birdied the hole. His playing partner, I think, put down a four, and he actually had a three. And when he signed for the card, he signed for a four. So he signed for an incorrect score. And so the score that he signed for is held up as being correct. And he ended up losing the Masters by one shot. And I can't remember who it was that beat him. It might have been Billy Casper or somebody. But, that was most unfortunate. So he would have been the first Argentine to win the Masters tournament. And he ended up losing.
Wow.
Yeah.
Amazing. Now, during the tournament, you keep the score of your opponent, and your opponent keeps your score, correct?
That's correct, yes.
And then you check them out at the end.
Yeah, you have a little – they give you a little piece of – at the top, there's a perforated score sheet at the top that you write your score down as well, so that you would total up your score at the end of the round, and it should match exactly what your playing partner has for you.
Yeah, interesting.
And damn, it's always right.
And that stops cheating. That's a good stopgap.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it is.
Mm-hmm.
Nope.
God, I love golf. So did you play any this weekend?
I played Friday, and I played yesterday.
Hey, good for you.
Yeah.
How'd you shoot?
I shot 68 on Friday, and I shot 73 on Sunday with a bogey on the 18th hole.
Wow. 68. Outstanding.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. Bogey the eight.
Four birdies?
I had an eagle and four birdies, and they had two bogeys.
Holy mackerel. Congratulations.
Thank you. Yeah. Yeah, that was I had a good putting day, and the ball striking was okay. It wasn't the greatest of ball striking, but it was good. I had the putting was good, and I hit my irons halfway decent. And then yesterday I played pretty well, and I was one under on the front, and then calamity hit in the back. So, how about you? Did you play?
Yeah, I did. Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday.
Oh, did you play today?
I played today. Shot at 83, had two closest to the pins. So that was good.
Very nice.
Yeah, playing with some scratch golfers, so I was which I never get closest to the pin with these guys playing, but somehow I snuck two out.
Great. That's awesome.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. For me, 83 is very, very solid. So
Yeah, very nice.
Yeah, so trying to keep my balance and swinging, just keep my body steady and in balance with a smooth swing. So sounds easy, but for me, it's very, very difficult.
Yeah, but you're conscious of it and you're working at it, and that's good. That's really good. That means mm-hmm. you are starting to get it. So that's really good.
Well, it's 60 years old. I'm a slow learner, but better late than never, you know?
Yeah, in a couple more years, they'll have clubs that hit themselves.
I know. My goodness.
Yeah, that's really good, though. Hey, congratulations on the closest, too. That's nice.
Hey, well, plus that 68, phenomenal. Outstanding.
Thank you. I'm really enjoying this driver. I really like it. I ditched my irons, and I'm using the old Ben Hogan irons, but they have a different shaft in them, and I'm really, really loving the shaft is right for me. So the other one wasn't very good. They were too light, it turns out. So mm-hmm. Yeah, so hitting the ball good.
Good. Good to hear.
Yep.
All right. Well, you have a great week. And,
thank you. You as well. I'll talk to you
I will
next
try.
Week.
All right. Sounds like a plan, and have a good evening.
Thanks. You too. You too. And good night to Sue. And
yes, Sue.
Little work to do tonight, and get ready for tomorrow. So I'll talk to you later then.
All right. You take care. And
all right.
Adios.
Oops. Thank you for your Block Talk Radio. Goodbye.